All right, so injection speed and plastic molding. Not exactly something you'd,
Right?
think about every day.
Not exactly a thriller.
But trust me, you're gonna be surprised by how much like science and strategy goes into this.
Oh, absolutely.
We use plastic objects all the time.
Yeah, we do.
And we're going to, like,
We take it for granted.
yeah, we
Well, you
really do.
take a deep dive into the world of injection speed, and by the end, you're gonna have a new appreciation for like your plastic water bottle.
You got it, yeah.
For sure.
It's not just about like, pumping that molten plastic into a mold. It's really like a delicate dance between speed, pressure, the materials and the design of the mold.
So it is kind of like a high stakes balancing act.
Absolutely. It is.
Like all the sources I was looking at
Yeah.
talk about this,
That tension between making things efficiently, but then also making sure that they don't have defects.
You gotta have both,
Right. So what happens if you like,
Well, if you get it wrong, it can mean wasted material, wasted time, which is like
That's a nightmare for
a
manufacturing.
nightmare. Yeah,
Right. And
absolutely.
you end up with like, warped products or blemishes or,
Warped parts, blemishes.
or weak products,
Like,
right?
yeah, or weak parts.
So to like even start to understand this balancing act, we need to start with the basics. So the sources I sent you mention material characteristics, mold structure, and product requirements. So those are like the big three.
Those are the big three,
Why don't we start with materials?
All right, sounds good.
Some of these research papers, like compared plastics to water and honey,
Oh, wow.
like in terms of flow, how they flow during injection.
That's a surprisingly good analogy. You
Yeah,
see,
yeah,
each plastic like
yeah.
behaves a little differently when it's heated
Right.
and injected. And some like polyethylene and polypropylene,
Yeah.
those flow really easily, almost like water, and
Yeah.
so they can handle much faster speeds, sometimes up to like,
Okay.
300 millimeters per second.
Wow, 300 millimeters per second? That's
Yeah, it's fast.
incredibly fast.
Yes.
But I'm guessing not all plastics are that
Not all, no.
cooperative.
Right, you're right.
So what happens with the thicker, more viscous materials?
So those are like the honey,
Okay.
like polycarbonate or polyphenylene ether.
Okay.
They're thicker.
Yeah.
They require a slower, more controlled approach.
Okay.
Think more like 30 to 100 millimeters per second.
Okay.
If you try and rush them, you risk a lot of problems like
Yeah.
overheating, degradation,
Okay.
stress marks on the product.
So it's like trying to squeeze honey through a narrow opening.
Exactly.
It's slow and steady wins the race.
That's right.
Right. But hold on. What about the heat-sensitive plastics?
Oh, yeah.
That
Those are the
research mentioned those.
trickier ones. So, some materials like PVC are really sensitive to heat. They can decompose if the temperature gets too high.
So you have to be extra cautious with those,
You do.
right? I imagine.
So, I mean, we're talking keeping
Buckle.
the speed down to a crawl, sometimes like 20 to 60 millimeters per second, and really monitoring the temperature.
It's like walking a tightrope.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, so we've got our like, speedy water-like plastics, and we've got our like patient honey-like plastics. And then we have our drama queen, heat-sensitive plastics.
Anox
The material itself is only one piece of the puzzle, right?
Bevas. It is.
The sources I sent you also talk about the mold itself and how like its structure influences the injection speed. So they mentioned gate size and runner systems. I mean, that sounds a little technical, but
It is. I'm not.
intrigued.
So think of the mold as the stage where all the action happens.
Okay, so if the mold is the stage, the gates are like the entry points,
Exactly, they are.
right? For the plastic.
So they're the openings that allow that molten plastic to enter the mold cavity and, just like doorways, they come in different sizes. And that size, like, really impacts how fast you can inject that material. Think of it this way. A large gate is like a wide doorway,
I like it.
You can move a lot of people through quickly.
Right.
So a large gate allows for faster injection speeds.
Big gate equals fast flow.
That's right.
Got it.
Sometimes up to like 200 millimeters per second for any flow problems.
Okay. What about smaller gates?
So imagine trying to squeeze through a narrow doorway.
Yeah.
You have to
slow down.
Slow down. Be careful.
Yeah. Okay.
Smaller gates in molds are similar. They kind of restrict that flow, and it requires a much slower, more controlled injection speed.
Okay.
If you try and rush it, you risk all sorts of defects.
Okay.
You know, like blemishes or even incomplete filling.
Okay. So it's back to that threading the needle analogy.
It is.
Slow and steady wins the race.
That's right.
Okay, but what about these runner systems?
Oh,
because, like the research papers mentioned, different types of runners.
Once that plastic is through the gate, it has to travel through a network of channels within the mold to fill all those nooks and crannies.
Right.
That's the runner system.
Okay.
And some runner systems are like smooth highways.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a well-designed runner system is like, you know,
cruising down a highway.
Cruising down a highway.
And some are like, you know, winding country road.
Winding country roads where you got to slow way down.
That's right. Okay, so with a smooth system, you can inject. That plastic at speeds up to 300 millimeters per second.
All right.
But if it's poorly designed, you know, lots of sharp turns, narrow sections.
Right.
You got to slow things down.
Gotcha.
Maybe like 40 to 120 millimeters per second.
Okay, so this is fascinating.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I never realized how much thought went into designing these molds.
It's quite the process.
But it sounds like we're still missing like a key piece of the puzzle.
We are.
Which is the product itself.
You're right.
Why?
The product itself is the ultimate goal.
Right.
And its requirements really play a huge role in determining the ideal speed.
I'm ready when you are.
Oh, yeah.
Unpack that.
All right, let's do it. We've talked about materials and the mold design, but it all comes down to what we're actually trying to create.
Right.
And that's where those product requirements really become the star of the show.
It's amazing to think that something as like simple as injection speed can be influenced by the final product.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like whether it's a car part or a medical device or even like a child's toy.
It's amazing the variety of factors that come into play.
So for instance,
let's say we're making a car interior part.
Oh, sure.
You know, something that needs a really high quality, flawless finish.
Okay.
We'd likely aim for a more moderate injection speed, somewhere in the range of like 50 to 150 millimeters per second.
Why is that?
Yeah.
Like what happens if you inject too quickly?
If you inject too quickly, you can create what are called flow marks.
Okay.
You know, think of it like squeezing paint through a narrow nozzle too forcefully.
Yeah.
You get those uneven streaks,
right.
Flow marks are those unsightly lines or patterns that can appear on the surface of the plastic part.
So it's all about maintaining that flawless look.
That's right.
Okay.
Which is really important for car interiors.
But what about like products where appearance isn't the primary concern?
Right. Appearance isn't always the top priority.
Right.
You know, think about products where dimensional accuracy is absolutely critical. Things like medical devices or precision engineering components.
Yeah. So we're talking about like parts where even the slightest imperfection could have serious consequences.
Exactly. Okay. With medical devices or precision components.
Yeah.
Even a tiny deviation from the design specs can be a major problem.
Yeah.
So in those cases, we need to be incredibly careful with both the injection speed and the pressure.
Right.
We need to ensure that the material fills the mold perfectly and doesn't experience any undue stress that could lead to warping or internal weaknesses.
A much more delicate process.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling to think about the level of precision involved in those applications.
It's incredible.
We're talking about like microscopic tolerances, right?
Some cases, absolutely.
Wow.
You know, we might be talking about tolerances of just a few microns.
Right.
Which is incredibly small.
Yeah.
To give you some context.
Yeah.
A human hair is about 50 to 100 microns.
Wow, that's tiny.
In diameter.
Yeah.
So
I can see why getting that injection speed right is so crucial. in those cases.
Yeah.
But wouldn't slower speeds
yeah.
also mean right. longer production times
you're right.
and higher costs?
It's a complex equation.
It feels like you're constantly walking this tightrope between speed, quality, and cost.
It is a balancing act.
Right.
But that's where optimization comes in.
Right.
You know, we use sophisticated software
okay.
and simulations right. to model the injection process
yeah.
and try and find that sweet spot
okay.
where we can achieve the required quality and
right.
dimensional accuracy
right.
while also minimizing production time
okay.
and costs.
So it's kind of like fine-tuning a race car.
It is. It's a great analogy.
Well, right. Yeah. You're tweaking all these different parameters.
That's right.
To squeeze out.
To find a bit of performance.
The optimal balance.
Right.
For each yeah. specific
yes.
product and application.
It sounds like there's a lot more.
There is.
To injection molding.
Yeah.
Than meets the eye.
Absolutely.
But how does all this like intricate science.
Right.
Connect to.
Yeah.
The bigger picture.
That's a great question.
Like, why should we,
yeah.
as consumers of plastic, it's a question we should all be asking.
Care about injection speed.
Optimizing the injection process
okay.
isn't just about making more plastic things faster.
Right.
It's about making them better.
Okay.
More efficiently.
Well, yeah.
And with less waste.
So there's like a sustainability angle to all of this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The faster we can produce parts
yes.
without sacrificing quality,
mm-hmm.
the less energy we consume.
Right.
And reducing energy consumption
yeah.
is always a good thing.
For sure.
In the planet.
And I'm guessing a more efficient process also translates to
it does.
Lower costs.
Yeah.
Which could benefit everyone.
That's right.
Right.
When manufacturers can produce
yeah.
higher quality parts
right.
faster
yeah.
and with less waste, it can lead to lower prices
right.
for consumers.
It's amazing how something as...
It is.
Seemingly technical
yeah.
as injection speed
mm-hmm.
can actually have these broader implications.
Right. It really highlights the yeah. fact that even seemingly mundane
yeah.
manufacturing processes
yeah.
are deeply intertwined with
yeah.
larger uh-huh. economic and ecological systems.
Right. And it underscores the importance of
it does.
Like innovation
yeah.
and continuous improvement in these areas.
Absolutely.
It's almost like a ripple effect,
yeah.
right?
It is.
Even like mm-hmm. small improvements
yeah.
in efficiency and sustainability
can have a huge impact.
Can have a big impact on the bigger picture.
Yeah.
But beyond efficiency,
right?
The sources I shared
yeah.
also touch on
mm-hmm.
some really fascinating advancements in the field
there are
of injection molding.
Yeah. So what caught your eye?
I was particularly intrigued by
yeah.
the research on 3D printed molds.
Oh, yeah.
And how they're like...
That's a fantastic area.
Changing the game
yeah.
a little bit.
3D printing is revolutionizing mold design.
Okay.
And fabrication.
Yeah.
It's opening up a whole new world of
yeah.
possibilities.
Right.
But let's save that discussion for our next segment because it really is...
I'm all for that.
...a topic worthy of its own deep dive.
Let's take a closer look at how 3D printing...
Okay.
...is transforming the world of injection molding.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. So, 3D printed molds.
Okay.
This is where things get really futuristic, right?
Yeah. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. The research I sent over mentions how 3D printing is like shaking up
Crest.
The traditional mold making process.
It is. 3D printing,
okay.
you know, also known as additive manufacturing,
right.
allows us to create these molds
yeah.
with incredibly complex geometries.
Right.
Intricate internal features.
So we're talking about molds with curves and channels and undercuts that you couldn't create before.
Or at least not easily.
Not easily, right?
Yeah. 3D printing gives us this incredible design freedom.
Yeah.
We can create like informal cooling channels
okay.
that follow the contours of the mold.
Gotcha.
Allowing for more efficient,
where we at?
Uniform cooling.
Okay.
The plastic part.
Right. And that can lead to,
right.
you know.
Shorter cycle times.
Shorter cycle times.
Which means? Faster production.
Faster production.
Yeah.
Okay. That's impressive.
It is.
But.
Yeah.
Like, how does this impact
right.
injection speed?
But right.
Specifically,
yeah.
it sounds like.
The benefits go beyond just speed.
Right.
But they do have an indirect impact
like,
on how we approach injection speed
okay.
with traditional molds.
Yeah.
We often have to make compromises in the design
right.
to accommodate the limitations of
right.
machining.
Right.
You know, this might mean
okay.
simplifying the mold geometry
right.
or yep. using less efficient cooling channels.
Gotcha.
And these compromises can sometimes force us
yeah.
to slow down
okay.
the injection speed to avoid defects.
So it's like you're removing
exactly
removing those constraints
on 3D printing
with 3D printing.
It allows us to.
And you can
yeah.
like optimize the mold design.
That's right.
For both
yeah.
efficient cooling
and higher injection speed.
Higher injection speed.
Precisely.
Okay. And this is where it gets really interesting.
It does, yeah.
Because some of the research
right.
is even exploring
yeah.
the use
yeah.
of AI-powered algorithms
yeah.
to optimize the entire process.
That's right.
From mold design
yeah.
to material selection
uh-huh.
to injection speed.
To injection speed.
And pressure.
And pressure.
AI-powered injection molding.
It sounds futuristic.
That sounds straight out of a sci-fi movie.
But it's becoming a reality.
Okay.
These algorithms can analyze
yeah.
vast amounts of data, you know, taking into account everything from
right.
the properties of the material
yeah.
to the intricacies of the mold design
Fine.
To predict the optimal injection parameters.
So it's like having
yeah.
like a virtual expert
it is.
Fine-tuning every aspect.
That's a great way to put it.
Of the process.
And this level of optimization can lead to
yeah.
some pretty impressive results.
Right.
You know, we're talking
yeah.
reduced waste,
mm.
lower energy consumption,
okay.
faster production times,
yeah.
all without compromising the quality.
It sounds like the future of injection molding is all about
yeah.
pushing the boundaries
yeah.
of speed,
yeah.
efficiency.
Efficiency.
Sustainability.
I think that's a great way to summarize it.
Okay.
And it's
yeah.
it's an exciting time to be
yeah.
involved in this field.
Okay.
We're seeing constant innovation,
yeah.
new materials, technologies,
right.
processes emerging all the time.
It makes you wonder what the next breakthrough will be.
I know.
Maybe we'll be. Like
yeah.
injecting biodegradable plastics
yeah. Yeah.
into self-healing molds mm-hmm. powered by
yeah.
renewable energy.
That's a vision for the future I can get behind.
Right.
Who knows what's next?
Yeah.
But one thing's for sure.
Yeah.
Injection molding will continue to play a crucial role in shaping our world.
And to think we started this whole deep dive.
I know, right?
With just like a simple question about
a simple question.
It's injection speed.
It just goes to show that even the most seemingly technical topics can
yeah.
lead to these fascinating explorations
mm-hmm.
of innovation,
mm-hmm.
sustainability,
yeah.
and the future of manufacturing.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling incredibly inspired right now.
I am too. It's been a great conversation.
Yeah.
And I hope our listeners are feeling just as energized.
Yeah, I hope so too.
About the possibilities.
It's been a truly enlightening
yeah.
deep dive.
It has.
Into the world of plastic production.
It has been.
And who knows, maybe someone listening right now will be inspired
yeah.
to like
yeah.
invent the next groundbreaking
yeah.
technology.
That's right.
In sustainable manufacturing.
Absolutely.
So until next time.
Yeah.
Keep exploring.
Keep exploring.
Keep questioning.
Keep questioning.
And keep learning.
Keep learning.